Welcome, friends, to the Someone Gets Me podcast. I am your host, Diane Allen, and I am so delighted that you're here. This podcast was created because I believe there is a visionary leader inside each one of us who is waiting to be seen. In each episode of Someone Gets Me, you will hear useful tips from successful visionaries who will share their stories about how being seen has allowed them to take their vision out into the world with action. Welcome, friends. It's Diane with a great interview for you today. I met this amazing woman as a result of a movie, a documentary film, and I had the pleasure of meeting her and then being interviewed by her and just really connecting with her mission. And she's a film producer and director, and she's been doing it for a lot of years. But the thing that really got me was when she was telling me about herself, she said, and I'm an attorney. And that's funny to me because most of my friends are attorneys. And so I said, of course you're an attorney. You have to be an attorney before you are a film director and producer, because almost everybody I know is an attorney. So we immediately had this great fondness together. And I just think she is competent, visionary, intelligent, really amazing, intuitive, and all of those wrapped into the same person. All the right brain and all the left brain things come together in the most beautiful expression as Susan Semper, our guest today on Someone Gets Me. So welcome to the show, Susan.
Thank you, Diane. It's a pleasure.
This is going to be a fun time because I absolutely am fascinated by your work and I'm fascinated by you. So what I'd like to start with is tell us a little bit about your visionary journey. Like, when did you realize that you were kind of this person who was ahead of the curve and had these great ideas? Has it always been your whole life or your adult life? Or how did that happen that you realized it?
Great question. I think I've always been a very visual person. And I've also always trusted my intuition. And when I listen to my intuition, it really leads me to the path to follow. And so it seemed like a very natural transition. When I was a young girl, I was very passionate about photography and the nature and beauty. And I was always an observer and I was always interested in listening to people's stories. And I wanted to be an attorney since I was 13 because I thought I love championing the rights of underdogs. I love advocating causes. And being a trial lawyer is a storyteller too. And so I fortuitously fell into a degree at the University of Michigan in television and film. And I had originally planned on being a political science major for, as all, many pre-law people do, but through the interaction with a sorority sister, I chose a different major. And I continue to use those visuals and storytelling in my career as a lawyer. And so for 16 years, I practiced trial law and did some entertainment and sports law as well. And always use those different mediums to tell stories. When you're in front of a jury, they don't always connect with the facts. Unfortunately, they don't always connect with logic, but they will connect with stories. And so intuitively, you're looking at each one of the juries as to how do I connect with those individuals? How do I make them feel? How do I have the result that I would think is for the better good or higher purpose in a trial? And the same then transpired when I went into filmmaking. I thought, instead of a jury of 12, why don't I have hundreds of thousands of people to send messages to, using, again, the art of film and storytelling in film?
Oh, that is great. It's true, though. Story, I was just on jury duty not very long ago, and I didn't get selected for the jury, but I had to sit there for 8 hours while they were picking through the 50 people for this trial. And one of the attorneys, since I know so many attorneys, I kind of have one of those things where I can kind of see the good ones or the people who have it.
maybe different than others. I don't know. But this, the state attorney, he was just off. He was off. He was not on his game. And if it was his game, he shouldn't be representing anybody. He just wasn't there. He couldn't put a sentence together. And I kept thinking, if you could tell the story, you know, or you could say it in a way we could understand you, it would make it easier. Because most people were shaking their head. Nobody really knew what he was trying to say or where he was trying to go with whatever he was talking about. It just didn't, it never connected with us. And so when you just said that, I'm like, you're right, you know, about this, when we tell stories, that's how we connect, which is why I'm doing the storytelling series within the podcast, because I think telling stories is very vital to all of us in useful ways.
That's great. I so agree. You know, if you look at a lot of publications by social anthropologists and writers that look at culture, they all point to even the initiation of human evolution with fire and being around a campfire telling stories. The greatest leaders of our times, like Abraham Lincoln, were great storytellers. Even in the recent Game of Thrones, in the finale, the writers very successfully had Tyrion, one of the characters, deliver somewhat of a soliloquy at the end of his pitch for a new leader. And he said, what is the thing that unites us? Is it armies? No. Is it wars? No. It's stories. And, you know, the leaders are, and the members of tribes are the keepers of our memories, of our stories. So there's huge power in stories. And I always saw that. And to me, film is the greatest medium. I'm a little biased, but is the greatest medium to tell stories.
So how did you choose film? Was it always your favorite and greatest medium for stories? Or did you try a few other things and then just knew it was the right thing? How did that work out?
I think film has always been attractive to me because it is such a magical medium that incorporates so many of the senses. The thing that I love about film and using film to tell stories is that we think about using color and how to tell the story. We think about the word choices, the written script, the music and how it makes us feel, the pacing of the editing. So there are so many multiple factors. To me, it's just the heightened level that one can tell a story. I did photography, I did writing, I used both. For many years as a young girl, I was a ballerina. And so dance to me is another form of interpretive storytelling. But film brings it all together and it really makes us feel, you know, when you have that visual impact of telling the story with the imagery, I just don't think it gets any better than that.
Yeah.
You can relate to it on so many levels.
Yeah. The music with all of it. It's a multi-sensory experience.
It is. It is. And I think that, you know, corporations see the benefit of using the medium to tell stories. Celebrities, ambassadors of messages, nonprofits, so many are getting into the use of video. And I saw that in my film, when I used film and video in law, you know, when I wanted to settle a case or when I wanted a jury to really feel what a client was going through, one of the most effective means was a day in the life video. And to watch and feel through watching and hearing what that person went through on a day-to-day basis. It's a powerful tool. There's nothing like it. And so when you have that ability to engage and then also change with that type of storytelling, it's amazing. And so it truly excited me in the use of video and law And then now with film, it's my dream, you know, as far as a career and passion.
Oh, yes, I feel that. And that's just, it's just so neat to watch you living your vision and living your dream with all that authenticity and authority about it. It's great. So you direct and produce documentary films. That's a great class of filmmaking, right? And you directed and produced Beyond the Game. That's an amazing endeavor. So tell us a little bit about what prompted that content, that film. You came up with the idea, right?
Yes. In discussions with colleagues, it was pointed out and highlighted, and I knew this from representing athletes as a lawyer, that they're often misunderstood. They're gifted in many different ways, and they have a unique set of personalities, characteristics, and lifestyle that demands a lot of them. I think as a result, they're very misunderstood as well. So one, I really wanted to humanize the athletes. And two, because so many of them have gone through various challenges, good and not so good in life, with regards to their careers and transitioning, I thought it was an important subject matter that we put out into the public, not only for fellow athletes, but also their messages and their stories are relatable to everybody, whether you're an entertainer, whether you're an artist, whether you're a change in life career person. You know, everyone goes through transitions and everybody can relate. The athletes are merely the ambassadors of the messages.
Oh, I was about to ask you if like a regular person who's not an athlete would be able to find themselves in your film. And my hunch is yes. And you just answered that they could, because we all go through those kinds of changes. And as people who are gifted or visionaries or very sensitive, all of those things, the good athletes have those qualities. There's unique challenges and unique opportunities that go with it. So how did you go about creating the story of the film?
I did research looking at the various topics that athletes frequently bring, whether it be mental health, financial literacy, how to utilize social media, how to utilize their platform for business, for social change, for philanthropic endeavors. And by looking at those different issues, then I sought out stories of athletes that had stories to tell. And I think it's important that you find athletes who are able to communicate and articulate those stories and also are relatable. And it's my job as the storytelling facilitator to also make sure that those stories connect with the general public. And so there's a responsibility on my part to find the stories that will connect with the audiences in general. And then as the filmmaker, I have separate responsibilities in telling their stories.
Wow, that's a lot of responsibility on a lot of levels, you know, because of the authenticity and accuracy and the honesty in it all and the connection. How do you moderate all of that within yourself?
I think just doing what's right and understanding that in telling the stories of anyone that appears in my films, whether like in this one and Beyond the Game, whether it's the athletes or experts such as yourself who appeared, and you also were an athlete and still are. I'm so proud of you in that regard. You're such a fine role model as a woman athlete, in addition to an expert and consultant, that, you know, as the film director and the producer, I recognize that when I'm putting someone on camera in my films, that I am also preserving their legacy. And I take that responsibility very seriously. I want them to look good, to sound good, to communicate their essence in a way that people really get to know who they are and can really connect with them, because only then does your film really have an impact. And you have to endear yourself to your interview subject in such a way that he or she trusts that you are going to present him or her in a very authentic, genuine, honest way as well. So there's definitely some rapport building and trust. That's no different than when I was a lawyer with my clients. People have to believe that you will take care of them and that you will do right by them. They have, many of the athletes, for example, and just people in general who have been in a documentary film, sometimes can feel taken advantage of, or that the topic is sensationalized. And hence why I pride myself on often doing these films independently and with independent sources of funding, because I don't want to be facilitating the agenda of someone else or another entity that is against the integrity of what we really want to come out in the film.
I think that's really important, because I can see that if there was a funder who started applying pressure in a direction that was incongruent with the film, that would not only put you in a difficult space, but it would put all the people, it would just make everything rub funny, and it just wouldn't feel right. And it's interesting, because I've had a film director and producer who does documentaries, and he does his independently as well, and for a largely the same kind of reason, is that there's a message that, you know, his is a very social activist stand in a lot of ways, but he wants to be able to be sure that things can be authentic and honest. And so I think that I could say that that is a very desired and helpful quality, to be able to be in that authentic space and be the person in the middle. So your role is find the right stories and the people who can connect, and then facilitating the connection, and then weaving it all together so that it makes a beautiful product for all people who consume it to have some connection with it.
Exactly.
And that is amazing to me. I just think it's just, it's a way of thinking. Like, I think in stories, and I think most people do, and I can see it all, and I'm a global thinker, I got it already. But when it comes down to sometimes like the little things or the connection piece or how does it work, it takes a different brain, part of my brain, to do that. And you have all those cylinders already working to be able to be the director, be the producer, find the people, do the interviews, and create the magic. And so my question with all of that is, when you're really inspired and you use your intuition a lot, have you ever had a time where the movie or the documentary changed, or the interview changed, or was altered somehow by your inspiration or intuition, like in the moment, like, oh, this is going somewhere else? Has that ever happened to you?
All the time. All the time. That's what I love about it. You know, if you work in feature films, you're working from a script. And so you know the story, it's predictable. The actors are delivering their lines, you know, and it flows in a different way. But when you're doing documentaries, you've got to really tune into your gut. You've really got to be all senses firing, because the unpredictable happens all the time. Alfred Hitchcock has a great quote. He said, you know, in feature films, the director is God. In documentaries, God is the director.
I love it.
I'll never forget that, because, you know, you can be on a location interviewing someone, and you'll ask a question, and someone will throw you a curveball that you didn't even expect. And a lot of magic is created that way. Or someone will cry or laugh and, you know, share something with you from the heart that you just didn't expect. Or you might be out filming whales and all of a sudden, you know, one breaches in front of you and you didn't plan on it. So you always have to be ready. You always have to be taking it all in. And you've got to be looking at even your interviewee. And after he or she says something, you look at their eyes and you think, they want to say more. Or there's something they're not saying. And so I love that. I love the unexpected. I love the magic that is created. And if you look at a documentary, actually it's written very several times. The first time that you're writing in a documentary is when you're doing the research and you think you've got your story. You prepare your questions for your interviewees, you prepare your shot list, but then you go out and do it and it changes. And so the story develops maybe in a different direction or other things are highlighted. Culturally, things are going on in society that make certain issues more relevant or topics come up. And then you go into the edit suite and you think you've got another story. And then the editors start collaborating with you and they see things and stories that maybe you didn't notice because you're so close to it. And then if you have a narrator, you're writing again and you're telling the ultimate story. So a documentary is written several times and it's never, ever what you think it's going to be from the beginning.
Oh, I love that distinction. And it's true, I think, you know, because it's the fluid human experience with all of the factors thrown in at once. And so you have to be on your game. So how do you take care of yourself? What are some self-care tips that you do to be on your game, especially when you're out traveling or you're working very hard, long hours with all these different personalities and people and paying attention to all this? What does Susan do for Susan?
Well, it's a work in progress. I would say that I'm better at it now than when I was a lawyer full-time. And I think part of it is just growing older. You know, you realize that if you want to keep doing what you love, you do have to take care of yourself. So I travel all over the world and do a lot of international flights. And there are a lot of changes in time zones and constant schedules. So try to get as much sleep as I can. I try to give myself alone time. I'm around a lot of people when I'm filming. A lot of people are looking to me to give direction. I'm trying to make the interviewee feel comfortable. I'm interfacing with the crew. There may be a sponsor or a client on location that I'm also taking care of. So there are a lot of people that need me. And so it's really important at the end of a film shoot day to go back to my room and to have that quiet time. Meditation is really important to me. Every day I meditate, not only in the morning, but several times throughout the day. That alone time is when the best creativity comes about as well. Getting outside, walking in nature is also really important. 20 minutes into the walk, things are happening internally in the body that produce certain hormonal chemical responses that start sparking creativity. Eating right is really important. Especially when you're traveling, you know, take some things like in your suitcase that help you feel like you're taking care of yourself, you know, whether it's special fragrances or foods or something that makes you feel good. And listening to your inner self, you know, what is your inner being telling you? Burnout is so easy in careers like this. And I have to learn to say, and I have learned to say, and I'm continuing to learn to say no more often. Not feeling obligated to do things. It's really important. Self-care is very important.
Yeah, I think it's necessary, especially when you're a creative person and there's so much you're giving out. You have to, you know, I call it being all filled up so we can give from the overflow. And, you know, that's amazing. So how do you handle it when you have somebody that you're working with, or maybe even yourself, going through a period of overthinking and almost kind of getting in their own way because they're thinking too much? How do you help people through that? Because I imagine sometimes people get a little nervous getting on camera or thinking, you know, what is she going to say or what's going to happen or whatever. And what are some tips to help someone not overthink so much?
I think, again, just instilling in others the belief to trust. Trust your intuition. Trust the process. And I hope, as I mentioned before, that they feel that they can trust that I will take care of them in the journey. I will lead them with my expertise, and that I will make them feel comfortable and enjoy it. Because I've never had an interview not end without someone saying, "That was really a lot of fun." Or them wanting to keep doing it, you know, like they get so excited. They want to hang out after the interview because they loved it. You know, they loved the conversation. And that's what I do in my interviews. I'm off camera and my questioning is off camera. So I'm really just a guide. I'm really just facilitating them telling their story. You know, just like you're doing now. And so I'm reaching deep into my intuition with the interviewees, and they in turn are as well. So I don't prepare, I do not give questions in advance. I will, for their comfort level, sometimes say, well, you know, here are some subject ideas, or here's the focus, but I let it flow in the process because I feel like I'm tapping into my intuition and I'm being guided as to what to ask them. I know in general the topics, but I let the spirit move us. I let the process happen, and it's always right. There's never been an interview that I walked away from and said, "Oh, that didn't bear any fruit," you know, never. So I think it's just letting people also see that you're comfortable in allowing that kind of process to happen, and therefore give it a try.
Oh, that's great. I don't write questions down. I follow my intuition too. So I'm like, yes, we're made of the same cloth in that way.
Absolutely.
So when you're thinking about the Beyond the Game film, and we're only focusing on that film because it's the current one that you've just done, what was the most magical experience related to that film that you can think of?
Well, I'm thinking of your interview in one respect, because we were chatting about this earlier before the podcast. I have never been in an interview with anyone that, like, every 60 seconds almost, there was thunder and lightning going on, but it was really magical. And I think that I have memories from the film based on many, many aspects. The first is, you know, how easy something will flow, or the magic of the location. But overall, it's hard for me when I think of the 150 plus people that I interviewed for this film to single out one or the other, because I see the uniqueness and value of every single person. And I remember every single interview because they all impacted me. But if anything, I think all of them were underscored by authenticity. I think the audiences, when they see this film, will be so impressed with how willing everyone was to open themselves up and to share their stories and to give of themselves to the audience. It was such a gift and such an honor to be with every single person in the film, because there were some real tough stories, sad stories, joyful, happy, entertaining, hilarious, all kinds of stories. And so I think of the emotions, I think of the heartbeats that are coming out in the film, and the journey that the audiences will be going through as they are listening and really feeling the stories of each one of these. So that was a way of me skirting your question, because it really is hard for me to single out, you know, one or the other. I mean, I think of a WNBA player who is now a coach for the NBA, and she talks about her roommate that committed suicide because there was a pressure on them as new WNBA members to be the first generation of success and to provide for their family. I think of an NFL coach who broke down and cried, a big burly guy, when he talked about the biggest influence of in his life being his mother. I think of another basketball player who talked about the challenges of playing on the same team with her daughter and acting as teammates, and then going home and like, oh, now I'm the mom, I need to make dinner. And how that must be, you know, playing for that long of a career. There are so many exciting moments that were shared by athletes of their victories and their successes. You know, I go back to the title of your podcast, Someone Gets Me. And I think all of them felt after their interviews that we got them.
That's the feeling I have. I have this visual while you're speaking, and it's like the Beyond the Game film and you interviewing and being present with everyone and being part of it, you know, that piece is like, I keep seeing all of these different strands weaving together for a new fabric. Like, they're beautiful on their own, but when you weave them together, it's this very beautiful fabric, which is magical. It's like a magic carpet or something. It's the most beautiful picture. And as you're speaking, I see that. And that is the story. That's the magic of the stories and bringing all these stories together of people who wouldn't otherwise know each other really either. And yet pulling out that human experience that creates that beauty and magic. I think that's awesome.
Thank you. I really do think that's a great analogy. It is a tapestry. Mm-hmm. And through that tapestry, I believe a fraternity, a sorority was created without them even knowing.
Yes.
There is a camaraderie, a communal currency, a way of thinking that will be so inspiring to everybody watching. And it will be inspiring to people in sports as well as just the everyday people on the street. And so the beauty of the magic of filmmaking is when after you have these hundreds of hours of footage, looking for those common threads and realizing it's not all that difficult to weave them all together, and you start to see the interplay as if they were all in the same room having a great discussion and all sharing, and yet they were individually interviewed.
Wow, that's the magic of the human experience. We're all in this flow together, whether we realize it or not. And when we slow down and pay attention, it's obvious and it's visible. And you get to be in that all the time. What a beautiful experience.
It is.
So I have one more question for you that's a little bit off topic, but not really. If you could put up a billboard on the side of the road anywhere in the world where everyone would see it, what would you put on that billboard?
Oh my goodness. You can make a difference.
Oh, that's beautiful. You can make a difference.
I've believed that ever since I was a child. that we each individually have gifts that can make a difference in the world. My gifts happen to be law, film, advocacy, writing, storytelling. And with those gifts, I hope I can make a difference. I hope that I can prompt change, raise awareness, enlighten, engage. And I believe we all have those kinds of gifts. It's just tapping into what your gifts are. But yeah, you can make a difference.
All right. That's what the billboard will say. You can make a difference. That's wonderful. Is there anything else that I didn't ask you about or something that you're led that you would like to share with our listeners? Of course, your bio and the link to the Beyond the Game film will be in the show notes. But is there anything before we close that is on your heart or your mind that you would like to say?
I guess only one thing, and that would be, I would really encourage people, if you're in a career and you'd like to do something else, or you want to do something in addition to that career or different, don't be afraid. Take the chance, take the risk. It's not really a much of a risk at all. You know, I was an attorney actively practicing for 16 years, and something in my heart said, I want to do something else. I love this. I'm good at it, but I want to do something else. And so 20 years ago, I made the change to focus my life primarily on filmmaking. All of my experiences from before are cumulative and building blocks for what I'm doing now. But I would say that it's never too late to make a change. And if there's something that your heart is telling you that you want to do, do it. And don't care what other people think. And don't care what other people say as far as, are you crazy? Or, you know, are you going through a midlife crisis? You know, you want to be what? Just do it. And so I would say, you know, one of the greatest joys that I've had is seeing the value of transitioning in my own life and evolving into other interests and other careers that I really had seeds of interest a long time ago. I just didn't know they were there.
Oh, that's great. To allow those inner seeds to, you know, actually show up and germinate and grow and right. And go for it. I love those. So you've heard some great wisdom today from Susan Semper, who's the director and producer of Beyond the Game film and an extraordinary woman in lots of different ways. This interview could go on forever. But look her up at beyondthegamefilm.com. And her name is Susan Semper. Her last name is S-E-M-B like boy, E-R. And I will put all of that information in the show notes for you. So thank you, Susan, for being on the show today.
Thank you.
Remember, everyone, keep your face to the sun so the shadows fall behind you. Remember that you're a rock star and the world really needs your gifts. So you're on purpose with a purpose. Go out there and dazzle them. Until next time, be well.
Thank you for listening. I trust you gained some valuable inspiration and information. Please join me and other visionaries in the Someone Gets Me Facebook group. Or for more information on my services and additional episodes, visit someonegetsme.com. Again, thanks for listening.